This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Sitting on my porch, drinking my Switzerland, I'll pull this great big fancy car. Last up for a stickler, bumper to the hood, the driver was a former movie star. Next thing I know, I was watching a show, they threw me off my chair. Say, Pa, I never see that kind of car. How come them rich white people stop in here? I say, boy, they coming out the woodbody, catching politics like germ, chasing after sweetness just like lie. All that means is 5 more years gone by.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk, all day. That song is The Politician by Pat Ramming. Wanted to play it this morning, because The Politician seem to want all the attention this morning, so we're going to give them a little attention this morning. I see that a lot of people are engaged in this conversation about the speaker's behavior. That's how they sort of frame it. They're very concerned about the speaker's behavior in the House since her installation to that position. And I've come here this morning to say that I'm very concerned about your concern. It seems that we have a class issue going on here in the Bahamas. Now, I see that the leader of the opposition says that he does not think that this is a gender issue. But let me tell you how these things work. See, it's not that she is a woman alone. All of these things, they're intersectional. We look at the way that different aspects of a woman or a person's life impact them or impact how they are treated, how they are regarded. And so, it is not just that the speaker is a woman, it is that y'all think that she is of too low a class to be challenging y'all in the House. That's all it is. Who this woman thinks she is? See, why I appreciate Hannah Martin is she'll come back around and say, you did it, you do it to all types of women. Not just a Patricia DeVoe, but a Glenys Hannah-Martin too. And I'm coming back around to tell y'all, even the women do it to other women. And one day we're going to talk about the gender equality referendum. Ladies, women, my fellow women's rights advocate colleagues, we can talk about that too. So you see, it isn't just a gender issue. It is obviously and definitely about class as well. Some of y'all don't think that a woman of Ms. DeVoe's stature should rule over you. They should not lord over you. And for her to even fulfill her constitutionally provided function, y'all would call it emasculating a man. Well, let's start here in the front of the Guardian, where the Honorable Cartwright defends pre-election contracts. And he says that Cartwright said last night that he will not allow his integrity to be placed in the quote-unquote political crosshairs, whether from quote without or within, close quote. Let me show you how protecting your integrity works, Mr. Cartwright. It's not about defending your actions. It's about ensuring before you act that everything that you intend on doing requires no defense. See, for a second, y'all thought y'all were in the house conducting your own business and your own affairs on your own behalf. The only thing that gives you the honor of being in that house is that you represent the people. So, Mr. Cartwright, when you are quoted in the paper as saying, and I will quote from The Guardian, page 8, Cartwright said last night that he wanted to bring clarity to the matter. Quote, "I was never moved by the weight of my office to act recklessly," he said. "I used my discretion and authority discriminately. My team and I worked to improve things and processes as best we could. My ego did not agitate any cause of action that did not involve seeking clarity and clearance from those in the official decision-making and approval process." You hear that? Here I added that little bit of class to it as well. That's only, I only added it, not that it wasn't there, but it's print, so I had to add it, right? What did you just say, Mr. Cartwright? And what does it mean to ordinary people? Does that mean anything to anybody? Did you clarify anything? Did you defend anything? Did you use regular words? And guess what, Mr. Cartwright? I like you. I like you. You know why I like you? Because the people say they like you. I like you because I see you riding your bicycle. You ain't had on no helmet. You ain't had on no pads. I know you got insurance. I know that mean you get insured that everybody who have to ride bike have an insurance too. I know that. That's why I like you. But don't get caught up in this political culture, Mr. Cartwright. Even the people who ain't in politics directly caught up in the political culture. Imagine you trying to tell the speaker she's just not, you know. I mean, she may be doing the right thing, but she's doing it the wrong way. Y'all can't do nothing the right way. You can't solve nothing. You can't find a file. You can't fix BPL. You can't let the unions function. The only road that's paved is Frank Watson Boulevard. My boy just dropped his tires in the pothole and flat the two tire one time. And while y'all in the house playing up, see, why do y'all lotion each other on the people's dime when poor people sell lotion to feed their children and pay their mortgage? That's what we want to know. While ministers in the house performing like he had never performed before, even when he was getting paid top dollar and called the right honorable, y'all in there playing up with him. Let me tell you what was happening on the streets of New Providence yesterday. Someone found me and shared with me that while they were on East Bay Street, approaching the Eastern Road, Village Road cutoff, a vehicle forced their way in front of them to enter the intersection to go nowhere. That vehicle parked itself in the intersection, a white SUV. All of the vehicles that were being blocked by that unmarked white SUV started blowing their horns. The driver of that vehicle jumped out and approached the first vehicle he saw with two women in it to row them and ask them, why are they blowing their horn? Can't they see what was going on? Now, when the person relayed the story to me, I told the person, of course, they themselves were in the wrong. Because when I see an unmarked white SUV pull up in the middle of the road and stop and begin to chat up women, and then when someone blow their horn and a plainclothes person come out the vehicle, then I know right away that the police officer is cutting a flick. He making a movie. I know that. I didn't say he's on the job, you know, because the police don't make movies as they job. He didn't flash his badge. He didn't identify himself because he know he was cutting a movie. So while y'all in the house running on foolishness, puffing up your chest, trying to make yourself look like man in the front of what? In the face of what? A system that you cannot surmount because you don't understand it. Chaos evolves. Chaos erupts all throughout your country. Y'all in there lotioning each other. At the height of the winter, at the beginning of the winter season, while little children need lotion to take care of the ash on their legs. It is a disgrace. It is beyond childish. If your name is FNM, you have nothing in that house to big up your chest for. And you certainly can't be running behind Mr. Minutes trying to bite up people. All of a sudden, he have to demand the floor to defend himself. You had 4.5 years. You could have had 5, but you didn't think you needed it. So big deal now. There are people dying needlessly around you every day. Not because they refuse to take a vaccine, but because you refuse to ensure that the basic of obligations from the state are being fulfilled. Healthcare, housing, education, protecting children and the vulnerable. You're failing while you sit up there and clap each other on the back. It's just a joke. So I stand with Patricia DeVoe. I remember when she told us we don't really want any more darkies in the place. And y'all didn't have a problem then. And quite frankly, I stand with her now. Because y'all don't like poor black people and you can't help yourself but show it. Anyway, Arlington, let's go to this call. Caller, you're on the clock. You only got a little bit of time. Got to go to a break soon. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing?
I am good, thank you. How are you?
And, yeah, they just remember the, that she was a hot dog card lady, but she spent over 30-something years on the police force.
Bang. There you go.
She's a former police officer.
Awesome.
But that's the only thing they hold on to is a hot dog card.
Right. Feeding children.
You know, and the fact about it is, You don't try to make a mockery out of someone, and the human side of her came out. Because, you know, some people say don't use the gender, but because she's a woman, you know, you think you should stand up and say, you know?
Yep.
Like how Moultrie used to do Glenys Hannah Martin.
Yep. And not just that, how the people in Glenys Hannah Martin party used to do her. Don't think we've forgotten what you told her on the convention floor.
And also she said, too, that she wanted to set, not, you know, set it straight. Respect me.
Yes. Respect the office because I represent the people. Thank you.
You don't laugh and make a mockery and stand up. You know, come on.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I got a couple of texts here. It says, great show as usual. I don't get it with the no phones and laptops in the House of Assembly because you see how boring those meetings is. B, I'd rather them have PlayStation 5 playing NBA 2000 and banging on the table and making noise. I'd rather them do the work. I'd rather them get busy. I mean, it's as simple as that. If you were using the laptop to bring data in to be able to refer to things, but the truth is, are you really doing that? Are you informing the discourse? I got another text here. So what we doing tit for tat? They did that so we can do this. Let's grow up and be leaders, including the decorum of the speaker. We need to improve as honorable members because it always happens this way in the House. Do not make it right. Let's do the people's business with more decorum and better behavior. I don't think this is a tit for tat. I don't think it is. I don't think y'all outside of the political class see what it is Patricia DeVoe was referencing. The people tired of it. Y'all keep going out to fancy dinners and you don't bring the doggy bag back home. You don't tell the chef, pack up the food and send it through the neighborhood because we didn't eat all. You would rather it go to waste, you let it throw away, than get cheer out. And you know, somebody tell me that's the difference between the PLP and the FNM, you know. They say the PLP, when they thief, The leftovers is get share out. The FNM, the rat could take it. The rat could take it. They don't care. Anyway. Listen, caller, I'm coming to you. I got 30 seconds with you, and then I got to go. Because I actually have a conversation today that these honorable by them, and honorable by them is a gender-neutral term, in the House should be talking about. Caller, you're on the clock.
Morning, Erin.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I stand with you. What you said this morning?
Yes, ma'am.
You hit the nail right on the head. I think it was a bit sexist, but I think it was more of a class thing.
Mm-hmm.
And people are looking at her, these people who have these degrees and this and that and whatever, have you, are saying, what is she doing up there? And speaking to me in this way. You
absolutely.
Understand? I stand with you. I stand with the speaker. In time, like some of the things that she says, well, some things, she's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Needs improvement, but however, but to pile up on her the way that it was done in total disrespect, squawking like a pack of high school, you know.
Children.
Yeah. You know, it was wrong. And I stand with her, and I thank you for what you said, the statement you made, because
yes,
you hit the ball out of the park this morning. Thank you. Have a good day.
Absolutely. You too. And I can tell you all this. I know this. I've lived this. This is my experience. And you hear how I sound, right? You all know how I look. And I went to QC, and I know how to get along. I know how to fit in. I know how to use the words.
If you'd like to make...
And this is how I have been treated repeatedly across this country. Erin Green, you are a homosexual, and you should know where your station is, and you should know what to expect. You should not talk to people a certain way. How dare you challenge them? And how dare you think that you is people enough to say certain things in the public? I done lived this. So I stand with the Honorable Patricia DeVoe. Also, here's what y'all politicians could be doing instead of proving who's the best lotioner. I need to find somebody to write, because we have Champion Bubbler. I need a champion lotioner track. What you could be doing is you could be looking at how we can change the process of announcing the jurors list. For surely this makes no sense that you're telling me that I am a juror by telling everybody that I am a juror. And then you're going to tell them where I live. Does that make any sense? Do we not have the technology and resources available to us to create a different system? Who are we paying to review systems? It's somebody, and everybody getting paid because ain't nobody took a pay cut yet. This is just ridiculous. And for years, people have been asking me to bring it up. How do you expect me to want to be a juror if you have published all of my personal identifying information in the paper? Find a different way of doing it to protect the privacy of the jurors. It makes no sense. All right, I'm going to read these last few texts, and then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to get into our discussion this morning about things that we all should be focused on in this country. Okay, first text here says, how can you determine what some think? Because some people say it out loud. And because you can watch your environment, observe the people in it, how they behave, what they say and what they do, juxtapose all of those things together, and you could get a good sense of what they think. Like, I've been watching these politicians for 30 years, and I can tell you, they don't think much about us, the people. See how easy that was? Now the text says, go, Ms. Green, like your passion, and you're right. Where was their voice in rising up under former Speaker Moultrie? I'm convinced a lot of males or Bahamian men leaders are very arrogant, chauvinistic, and narcissist. It is blatant class and gender bias. What say you? I agree with you except for one thing here. It ain't just men. That's what I'm telling y'all. It ain't just men. Now, this is where we can talk about whether it's really a gender issue or not. Men and women are perpetuating these beliefs, these stereotypes, and these systems. In fact, I tell Mr. Levon Miller yesterday, trust me when I tell you women do everything better than men, including perpetrating patriarchy, protecting patriarchy. We do everything better than men, including that. And that is where it's not a gender issue, right? We all perpetuating a system that's oppressive towards women. And men get caught up in that. And now men have become the victims of the very patriarchy they think is supposed to, or have been convinced if they support it, is supposed to support them. They are now victims of it also. Another text, it's tit for tat because the reference is going back to Moultrie's behavior. Stop it. No. First of all, what you're seeing is a partisan analysis of the situation. What I've been telling you for months now is that it's grander, it's larger than any one political party. It's not partisan. It's the political culture. That's why I talk about the political class. That's the cronies and the people who benefit from the decisions and actions of the politicians, even though they're not directly involved in politics. Another text. Aaron, thank you for everything you said in your opening today. I stand with you and Speaker DeVoe. They never would have done this to a male speaker. Just disrespectful. Only a fool despises wise counsel. She was doing her job by giving wise counsel on maintaining order in the House. This is why we will never have too much gaslighting from our men and from our women. Let us not forget, patriarchy is a system. Positioning yourself in it properly can give you power. Both men and women prop it up, position themselves in it, to achieve as much power as they can for themselves. Otherwise, we would see some movement in this town, not just on relations between men and women, but on the issues that really affect us, like the housing crisis and the need for temporary accommodations and shelters for people in transitional and emergency situations. Anyway, Arlington, let's go to a break. And when we get back from the break, I'm going to bring in my guest, Ms. Philippa Dean, and guest from the Dignified Girl Project. Real things we need to talk about. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
The new Guardian Radio app is here. Listen live to all our Guardian Radio shows and live video stream select programs in our studio. Get information about Guardian Radio shows and our hosts. Send messages, including text, email, and even call. All from our amazing new Guardian Radio app. Download it free today in your App Store for your Apple device or Play Store for your Android device. The all-new and improved Guardian Radio app.
Boy, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day, boy.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us boy one big contract. Nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never said I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No, boy. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. You're on the clock with Erin Green. I drove right into that show, but don't worry, I don't drive like the car. I don't drive the car, so I ain't driving into nothing. Y'all don't have to worry about any road rage, but I'll tell you why. Because I made a deliberate decision to limit my time behind the wheel, knowing that the RBPF refuses to invest the resources necessary into traffic management. Now, that's not necessarily their decision alone. Maybe they're having a tough time trying to share, portion out the resources that they do have available to them. So maybe it goes all the way up to the cabinet, to the people who don't have to worry about those things because they have a driver. A police driver who could do whatever they want on the road, right? And a nice fancy plate. Maybe that's why the police don't have the resources to do the jobs that they're mandated to do, because the people who make those decisions are unaware of the dynamics involved, because they're too busy in the House of Parliament lotioning each other, eating two meats, and living their best life. Maybe that's why. So I just a moment while we're waiting for my guest to come into the Zoom room. I got a text there that I have to read. It says, Erin, I'm a woman, and it's not just about the speaker's tone, but about her performance. Nobody in their right minds watching the speaker's performance over the last few days could say that she was doing a good job in representing us women in a dignified manner. Yes, I believe that some of the men in the House of Assembly, maybe most, don't respect her position, but she should not denigrate herself to prove her authority. Rise to the occasion and preside over the House of Assembly in such a manner that she is respected for her stellar performance, whether they like her or not. So I had a visceral response. I think that's the right word. Like, I almost jump out my seat, and I'm going to tell you why. First of all, I don't care. When you talk to me about Bahamian women, it's only a certain degree of Bahamian women. You could talk to me about dignified manner. And those are the women that had to tote their own feces, had to wash their own menstrual cloth, had to raise 25 children, had to get beat and keep waking the next day and kept doing it in a dignified manner. Those women that watched their children being molested because the molester was in charge of everything, and some of y'all are still trying to be that to this day. Those are the women. Don't be talking to me about her skirt is too short and her bra is not on, doesn't fit properly, and look at how she's talking in dignified manner. Tell that to the little girls, them, who are constantly being groomed and harassed in front of the school next to the police station on East Street South, about your dignified manner. And because we've perpetuated this foolishness, you've been convinced that you got to keep the stories about how you were molested or how you allowed yourself to be coerced because you knew a whole family was relying on your check. You know, a whole child you was trying to put through college on this check. So you let that man behave inappropriately with you. See, you let them convince you that that wasn't a story to tell, or that it couldn't be changed. And now we will sit there and talk about dignified manner. Let me tell you about some of these dignified women in this town. I truly can only talk about my own personal experience, because if I tell some of these stories, y'all gonna get mad at me. What I will say is this before I bring in my guests. When you live in a town and you know that you have a prominent member of the system whose nickname is Drop Your Pants, don't talk to me about dignified manner. What would be dignified is to shut the whole system down and to send you home without pay until you can convince us clearly that you know what your job is and what you're being paid for. Here ends the reading. With your dignified manner. And to that text, I know you didn't ask for all of that. That wasn't all directed at you. You didn't ask for all of that. That isn't all for you. And I apologize for that. I apologize for that. Anyway, we got to move into the next section of the show. My guest today is Ms. Philippa Dean from the Dignified Girl Project. Good morning, Ms. Dean. How are you?
Good morning, Erin. I am doing great. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear
you. Awesome. Now, I am doing well. How are you?
I am good. Thank you. I've been waiting so long to get you on this show because if any organization deserves the spotlight, it's the Dignified Girl Project. So please...
Thank you.
You're welcome. But listen, before we go into the show, since we're talking about great women and big things, right? I almost forget something. You remember Aurelie's Fashion on Mackey Street by Bar 20 Gornham?
Aurelie's Fashion, Mackey Street. So is it okay for me to just like interject right here that I was born and raised in Duluth? I didn't move to Nassau until like I was almost 18. Spent a short time here and then went to Abigail for like another 12 years. So no, I'm not quite familiar.
That's right. Me and you know mosquitoes from Camp Simonette. That's what we know.
Yes, Mom. I remember you were my counselor.
Every dress I brought to summer camp to go to church, I got from Miss Aurelie's Fashion on Mackey Street.
Is that the one that's across from Wendy's?
Right. It was right there.
Yeah. Okay.
I bet you every time you come to Nassau, you're going to get a dress there too. Anyway, today is Miss Aurelie's 102nd birthday.
Wow.
Yeah.
How is she being honored?
I don't know, but I can bring some rum. But here's what I'm thinking. I'm gonna start working on a project. We need to honor Miss Aurelie with a sustainable project. I'm gonna see if we could get somebody to fund, create a financial mechanism to fund a project, a campaign to provide feminine hygiene protection to impoverished girls and women on the outer islands. I think that would be a way to honor her. That would be a great way to honor her. But I mean to talk your business like that.
And I hope she's listening or a relative or someone is listening and that they are in agreement with that. I am sure that she would appreciate that because that also means that her legacy will be living on. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So please tell us about the Dignified Girl Project.
Okay, so we've been around since 2007. Team, that is, and our main goal is to increase the access that girls, we started out with girls, the access that girls had to hygiene products, just not menstrual, but feminine hygiene all around, right? And then the pandemic hit, and we realized that this wasn't just a need for girls, it was a need that women had also.
Yeah.
So we weren't about to let our sisters like fall through the crack and, you know, miss out on this opportunity. So, of course, we granted access, and I don't want to make it seem as though we have the absolute control on that, but we opened, you know, we increased the access for women to these things. But basically, that's what we do, not just products, but we also offer education around women's health or menstrual health as well as reproductive health.
Awesome.
In a nutshell.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because your menstrual cycle is a part of your reproductive health, and it's important for young women in particular to get a good understanding of what's happening with their body. I know the first time I saw my cycle, I was, I think I was under 13, and I was mortified. And even when I, you know, remembered what they said in class, and women in my family spoke to me. I still was mortified about it. And so, like, a continual process of engaging, I'm sure, will help mm-hmm. women be more comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm. And the experience that you had, where you mentioned that you had women in your family, you learned about it in school, mm-hmm. whether it was surface level or in detail, and I'm leaning more towards surface level.
Yeah.
And then you have the women at home that offer you the practical advice, or, you know, they tell you what to expect. And I don't know how much detail that went into, but there are homes that we cannot ignore where these girls are not being provided, you know, that type of information or even in details. And it's not an ongoing conversation that these young women are having in their homes. So there is, we're finding out a lot that they don't know and are still learning.
Absolutely. So mm-hmm. listen, I see on TikTok, right, this the fancy thing the children is use. There's a trend where the girlfriend sends the boyfriend into the store to get feminine hygiene products or feminine hygiene products, not necessarily menstrual, but mainly sometimes menstrual, mm-hmm. and to see how he'll react to it. And mm-hmm. the vast majority of these younger men are very comfortable with it. Is there a class where they're teaching young boy them about this? And to just, it's just life and be comfortable, or it's just something that boys who grow up with sisters and a lot of women in the household just figure out?
I'm not quite sure what that culture is and where that is coming from, but I do know that in our schools, and I'm going to bring it home just locally, in the Bahamas we have what they call the family life or the family education classes, where the boys and girls are both in that classes, are both in the class.
Okay.
And they are receiving this education, right,
mm-hmm.
when they get to that particular part of the quote-unquote curriculum.
Yeah.
And so they are exposed to it, and a part of it can be that they have women in their home mm-hmm. who are menstruating aid, so they are somewhat exposed to that. I'm not sure how much of a conversation they're having with these boys. I'm just hoping this is real, what you're seeing on TikTok, and not just a little something that's put together just for entertaining or TikTok purposes. It would be great for me that men and boys are in a place where they are quite comfortable going in and supporting women in every aspect when it comes to feminine issues or menstrual health issues, because we do know that they play a real big part in policy making. They also play a real huge part in the taboo, right?
Right.
And the shame and the stigma that's often been attached to menstruation.
Absolutely.
In many cultures.
Yeah. Bam. I was talking politics plenty. I want to know, you think we could convince the government with maybe a public-private partnership to provide free access or subsidize access to feminine hygiene products in the schools, in government buildings and offices with bathroom access and in public restrooms?
Can I be an idealist or optimist?
Yes.
I should say, listen, Eric, your thought pattern right now is so in tune with mine, because that is a goal or desire that I have for this organization and for this country, altogether. Mm-hmm. We're celebrating 16 days of activism, right?
Yes.
Under the theme, Healing the Bahamas Through Better Relationships.
Yes.
And that private, governmental, whatever relationship there, that is extremely important. Important to not just causes like ours, but causes in general, right?
Right.
I just want to share this with you very briefly before I answer your mm-hmm. question a little bit more directly. But we were applying for a grant, or we were considering applying for a grant, and we realized that one of the stipulations or requirements was that we had a partnership with the government, like on a national campaign or advocating with the government on some kind of national campaign, and that would kind of strengthen our chances
mm-hmm.
of, you know, receiving the grant. And I'm sitting there like, but we need to tighten up on that. You know, those relationships and partnerships, they're not really there like that.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I would like to see is that the government recognizes the importance of this and prioritizes the importance of this, not just this, but women's issues in general, right?
Right.
And it would be, we were granted permission by the Ministry of Education or the Department of Education in April. I'm sorry I'm talking so fast because there's so much I want to share.
Yeah, yeah.
In April of this year, where they granted us access to conduct a virtual survey among our public school girls,
great,
10 through 12. Mm-hmm. And then after they saw the table that we presented to them, they said, hey, could you open this up to our sixth graders in the primary school? Because, you know, they're having their menstruation too.
Yes.
Their menstrual. And I'm like, yeah, we'll open it up. So we opened it up. We were able to survey about a little over 300 of those students. And we found that there is a need.
Absolutely.
We found that there is a need. And now we're trying to put together a campaign that we can present to the Department of Education and say, hey, look, let's partner and let's put into our schools, even if it's a pilot program, these dispensers,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
To increase girls' access, because we did find through our survey a correlation between not so much so lack of access to products that's affecting attendance, but not being able or well-educated on how to manage the symptoms that come along with it. That's causing them not to attend as frequently or not to participate in extracurricular activities as often because they've not gotten the management aspect of it down.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely a need for education, definitely a need for partnership and opportunity. I would say start in the schools because, about 72% of our Bahamian female population is of menstruation age.
Mm-hmm.
And of that population, 17% are in high school. Well, of school age, I should say.
Right.
Okay? So it's definitely something they should consider. I would love that partnership. Let's start in the school, pilot a program, and then let's move to our clinic, our public spaces. Why not?
Absolutely. Now, listen, mm-hmm. I want to let the people know that we had a technical difficulty, and that's why I couldn't bring you on earlier. So, but don't rush, because we got time. I bring you back in. We have to talk about this. Not just that. See, I know people think I just put all the heavy weight on the man, them, you know. But
mm-hmm.
this is a particular issue that I lay at the feet of women.
Mm-hmm.
We, the women, have mm-hmm. the resources among us
mm-hmm.
without having to ask man for nothing
mm-hmm.
to have already created a factory producing these products here. But we don't even have to go that far. We could say, look here, my good Bahamian brethren, Cassius Stewart, the women them in New Providence want to work with you. What we want to do is we want to purchase what you already producing in the Dominican Republic and
mm-hmm.
bring it to the Bahamas and distribute it under our company name in the Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
right? But this
mm-hmm.
is something that women can take up and deal with. I know that men care. It's not an all-men kind of conversation,
no.
right? But we can, with the assistance of the state in terms of incentives and concessions, we could start a factory to produce menstrual products right now and then expand it to diapers and adult diapers as well to
mm-hmm.
provide another service for the vulnerable elderly.
Yeah. Yeah, let's not forget them as well. And if anybody is looking and want to pick up that cause and run with that, I say do the same.
Absolutely. And I think what it is that people, they see the issue, they can see some solutions, but they still need a framework or a structure to
mm-hmm.
help them realize that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And so I just want to say, just another aside quickly to my audience, let me tell you all how I know the politicians, and I didn't say men or women, how I know the politicians and the political classes don't care about these issues. You know who's making money? Morticians. Why? People dying every day. You know who could be making money? The people who care about women and their needs, because women have these needs every month.
They're not going anywhere. It's been around decades and centuries.
Right.
And will exist forever, because that's how we all got here, right?
This is a money-making...
Somebody needs to have an menstruation.
Right. It's a money-making mechanism, but nobody cares enough about women to make the initial of investment,
mm-hmm.
right? To create a sustainable mechanism where they could make profit and support the community. But I talk in a little harsh. I need to put it out there more positively. They haven't done it yet. So tell me, what is on the Dignified Girl Project wish list? What can I donate, and what can I do as a volunteer?
Oh, I'm going to go big, and I'm going to say distribution is so important, because distribution is a part of granting access, right? So we need a staple location. We just need a home, a permanent home, so that people know this is exactly where I go or I can go. Here's why I say that. partnerships are important. I believe in community-based partnerships. They're extremely important. So most of the distribution centers that we have, those are through mentorship programs, right? Community-based mentorship programs. People who are grassroots, people who have been in communities forever, they know the families, they know the needs.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we distribute to those people or those programs on a monthly basis, and they distribute accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we had a location and someone knew that, if I can go on E Street, on Chippy Chipman's Corner or Street,
yeah.
right, go through there at this building, number 10, this is where the Dignified Girl Project is set up, I can go there and I can get my dignity kit or an emergency kit if I need it. So what I want somewhere that we can call a home, a space. It wants to be a big space. So anybody out there listening that may have a space that we could use,
mm-hmm.
help us get set up, please.
Right. And we may be talking to you.
Pardon me?
No, I'm talking to the women's dem.
And next up on our list is what we always need all the time, Erin, is the products that we distribute to women in New Providence, women and girls in New Providence, as well as Eleuthera. We're hoping to get on some of the other islands as well.
Okay.
Because the need isn't just isolated to New Providence. It's just not isolated to the Bahamas. This is like a global issue.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
It's definitely a global issue. So we could, our wish list will always be those pads of all sizes, panty liners, deodorant, toothbrush, toothpaste.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying those because we have cases, Erin, and cases of tampons still sitting up in our inventory. Here's why. Because some Bahamians still have the notion or the concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know where I go with that, with tampons, right?
Right, right. There's a stigma around the use of a tampon versus a pad.
There are lots of myths around it as well. And it prevents us from, we're not into wastage. So we're not going to just package them in every single kit, assuming that every woman or girl uses them.
Right.
And then they're thrown away or they're just kept there to dry rot, keep there to dry rot. So that's on our list of special request items. So we do offer persons the option to just, once they make contact with us, say that this is specifically what I use, what I'm comfortable with, are you able to assist?
Absolutely. Now, Philippa,
yeah?
I'm all out of time. Give the people your contact number or the contact information for the organization.
Certainly. So we are on the social media platforms, Facebook, mm-hmm. as well as Instagram, under the Dignified Girl Project. Our cell phone number is 824-3137. That's 824-3137. And our email address is thedignifiedgirlproject@hotmail.com. We also have a website, which is www.thedignifiedgirlproject.org. Please visit our website because you will see where you can also lend your support, not just by volunteering your time and services, but also by buying products.
Absolutely.
Because we have a workbook that's on that website as well as some period management tools that people can use and purchase.
Absolutely. That is awesome. And Philippa, I got to read this last text for the show. I want the audience to hear it, and I want the texter to know that I read their text.
Okay.
Y'all buckle up. This is a doozy. Erin, would a man, not a dude or a boy or a clown, send a woman in a store to buy condoms? Your guest caller has to have lost her mind. Don't worry about that part. That didn't have nothing to do with you, because I was the one who said it.
Mm-hmm.
No, men should never be comfortable doing this. That's like having your son and daughter take a bath together or get dressed in the same room. No limits in this crazy world anymore. Some things are off limits.
Mm-hmm.
I hope nobody fell out of their chair just now because we time warped back to 1845.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm saying. Because, oh boy, I don't know any man who would not go into a store to buy feminine hygiene protection for their partner. Or if they were doing the grocery shopping because that was their task, they wouldn't do it.
Even their daughter.
Right. I think there are some things, right, that at a certain age, maybe your boy child and your girl child shouldn't be together no more. I could give you that. But
mm-hmm.
the buying of feminine hygiene protection, dear texter, no, sir. Also, you are in 2021, where due to the proliferation of rape and rapiness and the inability to control oneself, women have had to buy condoms themselves.
Yeah.
That's all. That's what I mean. It's a little more complicated than that, but that's basically it. Anyway, guys, Philippa, thank you so much for this conversation. We're going to continue it because due to technical difficulties on my end, we weren't able to have you on for the fullness of the show. We got to continue this conversation. And it's been really fun. So thank you very much, Philippa Dean, from the Dignified Girl Project. I just texted, gentleman just texted in quickly, my son 36 purchases hygiene for his 12-year-old. Yeah. Yeah. We got it.
So that's a real man. That ain't no clown.
Right. Right. Ain't no clown. Anyway, no man is a clown. Even when they're in the House of Assembly. It just ain't so. Anyway, I'm all out of time. Thank you so much, Philippa. We got it.
We'll do this again. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Bye.
Bye. It's 11 a.m. That means it's time for LeRon Miller and Unleashed. So stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, people, and have a great day. You've been on the clock with Erin Green.
Sitting on my porch.